Hi, friends. I'm Anna Lehman Knox, and I'm the community pastor for this online campus of Camp Hill United Methodist Church called The Hill. And this week is a little unusual. Normally, we chat with one or two people each month who are alive in the traditional sense in the world today about how they're connecting with the key scripture for the month through their daily life and work. Today, we will be chatting with Mary Oliver, who died in 2019, but remains very much alive as one of America's best-loved Pulitzer Prize-winning poets. If you're not familiar with Mary Oliver's poetry, I hope that today will inspire you to connect more with both her writing and the scripture as you both observe and live your most beautiful and wildest life this week. So first, I'll share with you the key scripture for this month from the New International Version of the Bible, from Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 15. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation."
God of creation, there at the start before the beginning of time, point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. As you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath, a planet's form. Stars were made to worship, so will I can see your heart in everything you made. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. Catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you've said. If it all reveals your nature, so will I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. So will I. So will I. So will I. If the stars are made, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the ocean mountains roll your greatness, so will I. For if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send it, so will I. If the rocks cry out in silence, so will I. If the sum of all I praise is still fall shy, then we'll sing again 100 billion times. Oh, and God of salvation, you chase down my heart through all of my failure and pride. Created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. As you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. We lost your life so I could find it. Left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart and everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart a billion different ways. Every precious one, the child you died to save. If you gave your life to love them, so will I. Like you would again 100 billion times. The measure could amount to your desire. The one who never leaves the one behind.
So friends, my life was made so much more beautiful when I quote-unquote met Mary Oliver for the first time over a decade ago. Her poetry is inspired by long walks that she habitually took in the wild and from her profound observations of the created world around her. Much like when God spoke at the very beginning and created goodness, so does Mary Oliver's poetry speak and create a better attention, I think, to the world and to God. While Mary Oliver was known to be skeptical of organized religion, and certainly she was not alone in that, she also described repeatedly her belief in God. And so, in light of our scripture for this month that invites us to consider the meaning of going into all the world and preaching the gospel to all creation, I invite us also to open our ears to hear a reflection on that creation and our role in it from Mary. This poem is probably the most famous one ever written by her. It was first published in her collection called House of Light in 1990. And is called The Summer Day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? So friends, that last couplet is framed and on my living room wall. It was a gift from a friend after we moved away from her and we missed her terribly. And those are probably some of the most memorized, the most printed, the most popular lines of verse in our country, which I think is no accident. They articulate the struggle that every human being has with the call of God from the Gospel of Mark in Jesus' first few lines of speech after his resurrection that we've heard this month. What does it mean for us to be a part of bringing the gospel, the good news of resurrection, to the whole created order of the world and universe? What does it mean for us to treat our and all of life as wild and precious? A wild life is one that cannot be controlled by all of our personal preferences and beliefs about how life should be for us and for others, humans or creatures. It demands that we relinquish some of that control so that something more beautiful and good and bigger than ourselves can unfold. How can we tell good news to a world that we believe is all just like us, or a world that we are oblivious to? The life of a grasshopper is completely different than our own. Their vantage point alone is world-altering. So how can we tell it some good news? How can we care for it as we have been instructed to by God if we never take time to notice it, to get down in the grass as Mary does and engage at eye level? One day many years ago, I was instructed by a mentor to make my lunch in advance and simply take a day just sitting in a patch of grass in a garden. I wasn't supposed to read a book or play music or do anything that could remotely be construed as being productive or personally creative. I was simply to be present to creation around me and present to the presence of God in that creation. And I could have been interpreted by many people passing by as having been very lazy that day, wasting my time, all those precious hours of this life that I wasn't contributing anything to or fixing any problems. But it was one of the most profound and memorable days of my life. Most of my memory is of perching at the edge of a pond and watching a spider crawl up and down individual blades of grass, just noticing the wild and the precious life around me that I did not create, but that was sacred and worthy of hearing some good news of adoration and protection. And so I ask you today, what gospel, what good news of resurrection are you noticing in the creation around you in this moment? If you are too distracted, what might you need to walk away from or put down at this time in order to connect at eye level with the creation you are called to see and to serve? And even if you struggle with organized religion, where might you experience the presence of God in what you are seeing and hearing and smelling and touching and tasting? And as Jesus says to go, where is your next step leading as you live this one wild and precious life that you have been given? Friends, while I'm sadly not able to meet you in person for a little while as we welcome a baby, new creation of our own, I do invite you to stay tuned in with some fabulous guest hosts of The Hill while I'm on maternity leave, keeping up to date through our website, hillchurchonline.org. So until I see you again, in the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer, go in peace.